The place for news, views, and entertainment the way you like it. RantEMRadio.com. The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. Thanks for tuning in and listening to The Shining Wizards. Proudly available at ShiningWizards.com and on the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on, including iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, Audioboom, and so many more. If you shop at Amazon, visit Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and click on your country's banner. Do your shopping as usual, pay the same low prices as always, and a portion of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy Shining Wizards t-shirts, visit ShiningWizards.com/merch for a link to our Pro Wrestling Tees store and select from dozens of great designs. Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Wizards Podcast. If you'd like to check out our videos, visit YouTube or Dailymotion and search The Shining Wizards. The Shining Wizards airs live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. East at RantEMRadio.com or SWLive.net. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
The Nature Boy Ric Flair, woo-woo-woos, woo-woo-woo, all over you. You woo-woo-woo in a zoo-zoo-zoo. You woo-woo-woo with the flu-flu-flu. You woo-woo-woo, take a doo-doo-doo. You woo-woo-woo, Christian or Jew.
I have a small dick.
God damn! Woo!
Let's do this, baby.
Woohoo! We are live. Welcome, everyone, on an early Sunday morning back east, but just about noontime for me and my guest today. It is the fourth annual Shining Wizards from England, Jesus. Well, it's partially from England, from overseas in Europe. Of course, this is Tony. I am coming to you from the northwestern corner of Spain, and my man, from, as we say, across the pond, but practically across the river these days, he is the one and only wrestling monkey from England, London town, if you will, Mr. Bazza Smith. Bazza! Good morning, my friend!
Coming to you live, as David Powers would say.
We're alive.
For the fourth year in a row. How are you, baby?
I am doing great, and of course, I would be remiss if I didn't say, hi, Cinco! To all of Baz's mates across the way, what's up? Good morning, and how are you? You sound great, my friend. Like we said, it's been a year since we last spoke, doing a show together, and I am looking forward to it. This is always one of my favorites of all times, all times.
Oh, same for me too, brother. And just before we kick off, let's say a very special first birthday to Choppy's son, Logan.
Yes, happy birthday, Logan. Choppy's a bit of a pain in the ass. Of course, I don't have that drop, but we all know. Choppy's a good guy. Him and his wife raising a fine young boy there. Well, happy first birthday to you, Logan. And yeah.
And I also believe that they've suffered a family loss at the moment. So prayers out to them at this sad time.
It doesn't that suck? It's like the facts of life, the good and the bad. You know, I don't want to sing that song because I don't want to sound, I don't want to be mocked. But, yeah, it's rough, man. Of course, thoughts and prayers with all of our friends around the world, everybody in the struggle, like Phil with his awful commute every day. I read on his Facebook page that they changed all his bus routes, so you think he's a miserable prick now. Wait till that goes into effect in another couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm feeling Phil's pain at the moment because I've been working on a job which involves me getting up at 4:30 in the morning and not even getting to work till 7:30, and then getting home at 9:10 at night. So
that sucks a dick, man. I'm sorry about that. You're still in London, aren't you?
I am indeed. Well, North Kent, People keep telling me it's South London, but the border says North Kent, so I'm still a bumpkin at heart.
No, I hear you. I'm so far out of Coruña, but they still consider this area Coruña. So I don't know how the provinces, I don't know how the towns work around here. All I know is, like I say every year, I'm in a small farm. Well, what used to be a small farming village. Not too much livestock around here anymore, but you still have the occasional people that own the chickens and maybe a couple of fat rabbits for dinner and whatnot. But every once in a while you'll see a cow wander through, but by and large, it's pretty much crops these days.
Well,
nice. So it's not bad. Peaceful. Yeah, country life. Can you imagine the guy that lives outside of New York City coming out here for a couple of weeks out of the year?
It is a world away, and it must feel like a world away.
Oh, you ain't kidding. All right, I'll tell you the story now real quick, something that you'd be interested in. We, for all intents and purposes, when we usually come to Europe, we fly Iberia, which is the Spanish airline. And, of course, when you fly, yeah, you can't come to this area directly. You have to get a connection, and typically that connection is from Madrid. So, long story short, it's a two-hour drive to get to Kennedy Airport, which is a pain in the ass, in Queens and New York City. And then the flight over here is about 7 hours. Then you have a delay in Madrid. So it takes typically about 10 hours, 11 hours to get here, right? So this year, yep, we said, we're going to go from Newark. Now, Newark is literally two towns away from me. It's about 20 minutes, 30 minutes if there's traffic. We get to the airport, there's no problem because we're flying through TAP, which is the Portuguese airline. So instead of going to Madrid, you fly to Lisbon, which is closer. So it's a shorter flight. Great, we get to Lisbon, right? Everything's cool. We get on this little propeller plane. They take us out onto the runway, which is an awesome experience. If you've never done it, you got to at least try it once. They take us out on the runway. We climb those little steps to get on the plane. Baza, we were above Coruña. We were in the air. And the pilot comes on and says, oh, we're so sorry. There's fog. We have to go back to Lisbon. 3 hours on a plane to nowhere. To nowhere. And this is the kicker. They give us alternate transportation. Okay, fine. What's the alternate transportation, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. It's a four-hour delay to go to Air Europa, to go to Madrid anyway, to sit in Madrid for, to sit in Madrid for 3.5 hours, to go to Coruña. We were supposed to arrive at 10. We were supposed to arrive at 10 a.m. We arrived 11:30 p.m. just before midnight. We blew the entire Monday sleeping in airports, flying around. My kid was miserable. My wife was miserable. I was miserable. And you know what we got for all of our trouble? We got a 60-euro voucher to have a free dinner at Burger King at the airport in Madrid.
Thanks for visiting.
Yeah. So our Monday was not the greatest Monday in the world. Actually, we're here for a couple more days, and we will be heading back to Lisbon, and we're going to spend a couple of nights there because I've never been to Portugal. And my wife was only there when she was a little girl, so we're looking forward to that. It should be good times.
Yeah, I've seen some footage of Lisbon through mountain bike videos you saw back in the day, because I used to do a Daniel mountain bike race competition through the streets of Lisbon, and it looks like a beautiful city, so I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Well, Kevin was there not too long ago, but it was pretty much get to the airport, go to the hotel, get blotto, and then go back to the airport and go back home.
Standard for Kevin.
Yeah, well, of course.
All he remembers is the hangover.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know what happened. Shit, sometimes it takes him 5 minutes to remember what happens on one of our episodes while we're recording it, mind you. Wait, what happened? What? That's all right. We love you, Kev. I know you're not listening to this anyway, so fuck off, yeah? So anything else exciting? You've been married since we last spoke. How's married life treating you?
Brilliantly. She awesome. Treats me, my wife, Victoria, treats me like a king. And I'm just glad to wake up every day, man. Just glad to wake up. Wake up with a smile every day.
That's it. That's all that matters, man. That's all that matters. Well, it's glad to hear that you guys are enjoying your wedded bliss. Talk to me in 10 years and see how it goes. How about you?
Oh, we've got a much deserved day off today. So the boys are off to a wrestling show, and we're just going to go and potter off out and see how drunk we can get, I suppose.
So you're heading out to the show well, or you're skipping this one?
I don't like pro wrestling either. Now, it's a full-on female promotion, and they have some very, very good talent on there. But I can't abide the people who run it.
Really?
They've got this feminist agenda going on. And I don't go to wrestling to hear to have politics rammed down my throat.
No, I hear you, man.
I like to go to wrestling shows as an when you're in our boat and it's either your time is either torn between doing stuff for the family or invariably in my case being at work sometimes up to 20 days straight. When you have time off, you want to be able to relax, forget about the world, because I've London rammed down my throat every day. I'm getting on and off a train, and I just want to be able to kick back and enjoy what I enjoy. And I don't want that coming wrapped with a caveat of you've got to do this, you've got to believe that. I just want to believe in good people. I don't believe in sitting on one side of the fence or the other. You know, I don't particularly like the left wing. I don't particularly like the right wing. They both have things going for them that are good. Both have things going for them that, in my opinion, are bad. And I firmly believe that if you become too entrenched in one school of thought, whether it be on the left or the right, it's indoctrination, whichever way you look at it. Just go out and enjoy people for being people, no matter what their skin colour, no matter what their religion, whatever they want to believe in, as long as they're not touching kids or raping women, go and have the time of your life.
I don't know how to follow up with that. Beautiful words. And, you know, just, well, I guess just to follow up now that I made an ass of myself and said I don't know how to follow that. Someone actually, I forget who it was, and I wish I remember the fella's name, because it was profound yet so simple. It was like, the things you see on TV, the things you hear on the radio, the things that that they want you to believe are actually going on are not really all that encompassing. What I mean is they're not really affecting everything and day-to-day life. You know, you hear on the news, whether, like you said, it's from the left or from the right or from wherever, when you go out, you know, this is not dominating people's lives. People, if you just stop and look around, people are doing what they always have done. Yeah. You know, like you look at the average person, they're not concerned about what's going on. They're living their life. You know, their microcosm is what they are. And it has nothing to do with any kind of battling from either side, which is it's pretty remarkable. You look at the media and they portray it like we have guns pointed to each other's heads and it's ready to blow off at any minute.
Yeah, you know, like if you believe certain sections of the media, everyone in America, every white person in America is running around with a gun looking for someone in a hijab to shoot, you know?
Yes, and everybody's forcing their religion on you, and, you know, like Black Lives Matter and White Lives Don't Matter, and then White Lives Matter. Oh, the wife is coming to take a picture. Hello! This is her tradition every year when I'm out here talking to you, that she comes out to take a picture. It's actually quite nice. I remember last year it was chilly out here. We were supposed to get some rain, but it's cloudy, it's dreary, but at least it's warm today. It's kind of pleasant out here.
Yeah, it's nice, and it's not too warm here. It's just a lovely breeze. My type of weather, to be fair.
I feel like I need to put on like my model poses and stuff, you know? She's just happy I got up and made breakfast this morning before I came out here, right, sweetie? Yeah. She won't talk. I just get a mm-hmm. There you go. That's the true silent majority. There you go. That might be a bit of a gimmick infringement if you talk to Phil, but whatever, man. Whatever.
Anyway, talking about gimmicks.
Yes.
Let's have a little chat about what Sam Adonis got up to last Sunday in England.
I like the way you think. Yeah, so I read up a bit about it when you mentioned it to me, because of course I've been semi off the grid here. But apparently, in a promo that he was cutting, he made it clear he didn't like the homosexuals. Please elaborate on that for me.
Right, I wasn't there, but I'm going on first hand witness statements from a couple of friends, my wife and my stepsons, who were there in attendance.
Yeah.
Now, Sam Adonis came out and attacked, for those who don't know, Sam Adonis as a Trump supporter gimmick. Which he uses in to great effect, apparently, in CMLL. Now, he comes out, attacks Curtis Chapman at a Red Pro show at the Cockpit last Sunday in Marylebone, London. And he starts to cut a promo. Now, a very good friend of mine, who's renowned for supporting the villains and booing the supporting the heroes and booing the villains.
Like you're supposed to do.
Starts giving him some grief. Now, at this point, Sam Adonis turns round and calls him a faggot.
Ooh, the F word.
Which, and then goes even further and made him a retard and made a, and allegedly said about his girlfriend having Down syndrome. Now, I think what really got people's, because apparently the crowd went mad, people started turning their back on him and flipping the bird and whatnot, started chanting, don't come back, don't book him again. And what made this situation a hell of a lot worse than I think it should have been is that my friend who he shouted faggot at is actually gay, and everyone knows he's gay. Now, I don't believe for a minute that Sam Adonis knew that my friend was gay. And that is what tipped everything on the RevPro message boards. There were people saying, you know, we'll never come back if you book him. Actually put out a statement. For those who don't know, Andy Quilden is the owner of Revolution Pro Wrestling. And he's actually put out a statement whereas he's cancelled all the dates over the summer which Sam Adonis should have been on for Revolution Pro Wrestling. And I think that he's in the UK lining up to blackball him.
Baz, I hate to cut you off, but you're cutting out a little bit. Are you moving around?
Yeah, I was. I'll sit down. I'll sit back where I was. Is that better?
Yeah, much better. Yeah, no, because it was cutting out like key parts of the story there. So you're saying the RevPro owner put out a statement that he's not booking Sam Adonis for the rest of the summer?
Yeah, he's lost all his dates for the rest of the summer that RevPro had him penciled in for. I wouldn't be surprised to see other British promotions follow suit, particularly in London, because London is a lot more sensitive to these things than other parts of the UK I found on my travels anyway.
Now, I wonder, I don't know too much about Sam Adonis. I wonder, while he's doing this gimmick in Mexico, if he used that kind of language, you know, maybe thinking that the Mexican fans couldn't understand what he was saying anyway, just to kind of like, you know, make like he's giving him shit, but not really. But I don't know, man. Like we saw that stuff, you know, notoriously on video with CM Punk doing that to fans at WWE shows. And if you're doing it as a character, like I get it. But if you're just taunting fans in the crowd, like I don't know, man. That's a different kind of line, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. And like I say, I was a little ill at ease with the amount of vitriol that came from the fans thereafter. Purely because, and like I say, my wife was there. And when Sam Adonis came out, he had his head bowed. When he was leaving, she said he looked very embarrassed. He apologised to fans on the way through. And what I didn't understand is if people there were that offended, as offended as they were putting in writing when they got back to the message boards.
Yeah.
If that offended, why didn't anyone actually confront him when he was leaving? Because I spoke to a couple of people just to get clarification on this. And I said, did anyone actually confront him when he was leaving the venue to say how offended they were? And everyone said no.
Well, because they're probably afraid that he might kick their ass, you know? So it's easier just to go home and bitch about it. But I get what you mean, too. Like, how authentic are you in your complaints if you're not doing it when you have a chance to while it's happening? No, I get that. I get that.
Yeah. No, and I was explaining, you know, and I was explaining to my eldest stepson I said, we all need the opportunity to know that we've done things the wrong way. Now, and I said to him, I said, when I was younger, where I grew up, in a small, well, large village, small town, call it whatever you want. It was very white. And with that, there was, you know, back in the 80s, when I was growing up, casual racism and casual homophobia were an accepted part of society where I grew up. And I grew up thinking it was perfectly normal to call a black person a nigger.
Yeah.
And I said to him, but I grew up, I started having the opportunity to look at the world through my own eyes. I actually, you know, moving around, it was more of a cultural mix, and realised that I'd, you know, made a massive error. But I was indoctrinated with that at school of thought to a certain extent, you know, because that's just the environment I grew up in. Nothing of my family's doing. It's just the way, that's the way society was where I grew up. And I said, because I thought it was okay to say that word or use that reference when I was younger, when I was 16, 17, I said, does that make me a racist now?
And I think that's a great point. You don't give people an opportunity to learn from their mistakes. It's right away
I mean, I can't, you know, I'm not going to sit here and defend what Sam Adonis said in his promo, because I can't.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can say is that for all these left-wing liberals who now make up the majority of the crowds at British wrestling shows in London, where is your love and understanding now? Where is the forgiveness now? Where is the understanding that someone's allowed to make it what was a horrendous misjudgment on Adonis's part? That he, you know, and someone, I still believe, someone in the back there should have been doing a bit of homework on his Trump character, knowing that it would get heat anyway, and just give him the lowdown on, like, you know, particularly as if he hasn't, because I can't remember that he's worked the London crowd before. And, you know, someone give him the heads up of, you know, this is where the line is. Be careful how you walk it.
Yeah.
Because with a heavily left-wing audience, like I say, like you're getting in the London crowd, on the London scene, a right-wing gimmick is gonna get your shit anyway. And if you know, and it's a fair point, which a friend said to me, he said, know your audience. So Sam Adonis does have to take a bit of blame in that as well. But I just don't like the hypocrisy of the fans will come out of it, because the dude has walked out with his head held in shame, apologising, and people are still looking to hang and burn him. But they're still accepting other things. And like I put on my Facebook page, I said, just remember, while you're all climbing across your steeds to go on a moral crusade, just remember that you're cheering people like Walter, who wears a long German military coat and uses a stance synonymous with many movies involving Nazis back in the day, with the hands behind the back and standing to attention with the chin in the air. And Ilya Dragunov, who comes out with a big old hammer and sickle on the Titantron. You know, if you're talking about being offended, how far do you want your offence go? Because those are symbols and looks synonymous with a period in history where millions of innocent people died.
Yeah.
So are you now going to judge them, or do we judge you for accepting that? You know, this is where people need to start getting off their high horse a little bit. Because if you're going to start going down the road of trying to sterilize everything, then sterilize everything. Don't pick and choose what you want to sterilize because, oh, actually, yeah, but I like that.
Well,
I like that gimmick, so I'm pretend that there's no connection there to anything nefarious.
Well, I mean, that's human nature, though, too. I mean, it's easy to be hypocritical, like you said, when it's something that you like as opposed to something that, that may be even slightly against what you stand for. So, you know, as humans, we pick and choose quite often, what we're going to stand by and what we're going to be against, even if, for the most part, they're virtually indistinguishable, like you said.
Yeah.
How can you support one and be vicious against the other? Well, sometimes it just really just comes down to, well, I kind of like this guy and I don't like that guy. As simple as that.
And it's like, there's a show coming up. I think, I can't remember her name, but on adult shows, she goes under the moniker Psycho Dyke.
Oh, I'm offended.
As I understand it, dyke is every bit as offensive as faggot.
Yeah.
In the gay community. But the same people who were pissing and moaning about Sam Adonis saying faggot are perfectly fine with someone going in under the moniker dyke. And yeah, where is your line of morality with what you're prepared to accept or not accepting?
Here's the difference. She is, quote unquote, a dyke. So she's owning it. And that's okay in certain people's minds. But yeah. Sam Adonis is not a faggot. So that's why people are outraged. I get it, man. I get it. I don't like it. I don't like the hypocrisy of one or the other. But... you know, unfortunately, until perceptions start to change, this is where we're at right now, and it's very unfortunate. It really is.
Yeah, it is.
How could you push an agenda of equality and non-harassment and letting people live their lives and not be meaning them by using language that's meant to hurt. And then in the same sense, you have somebody who lives that lifestyle you're trying to protect use the very words that are used against that lifestyle. Is that really empowerment or is that bullshit,
It's bullshit, isn't it?
Well, no, to me it is. But apparently to the people at RevPro, maybe not so much.
Because you're saying to people, it's okay for me to say it if I am.
Yes. Which is why we have, billions of rap songs that have the N-word in it.
Yeah. Which is why we had the issue. What was it? Earlier in the year, there was a... who's the artist now? But he pulled a young white girl up on stage.
Yes. Was it Drake? I don't know. No, maybe Kendrick Lamar. I don't know. It was one of them. I forget. And I'm not saying one of them because I can't tell them apart. I really don't remember, so fuck off.
No, it wouldn't be Drake. I mean, I've read a few things about it. I mean, I'm not up on music at all, but Drake comes across as a very cool dude.
Right. Well,
apparently, earlier in the year, he went into a shopping mall in Canada and paid for everyone to shopping while he was there.
That's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome.
He does make an effort to keep in touch with the people, so to speak.
No, that's cool. That's cool. And you know what? Unfortunately, those are the messages that get pushed aside,
because it's controversial enough.
For every good thing that's, like a Bill Gates does or a Steve Jobs does, like all we hear is like, oh, he's a millionaire. He has too much money. We need to tax him more.
Yeah.
that you go right to it. Like, oh, fuck him. He has too much money. Like, it's like, come on, man. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they're always, dude. You can't even do charity anymore, dude. They find something to take it away from you. It's ridiculous.
Not that this generation just want to find something to piss and moan about all the time. It does not fucking nothing. Just enjoy life, enjoy people, enjoy experiences, and not every you will naturally levitate towards people who share your same school of thought.
Exactly.
And, you know, you're never going to live a happy life by trying to force people to think the way that you think.
Well, all right, and great, and to build on that point, if somebody doesn't agree with you, who cares?
It's fine.
It's
It makes for debate. It sparks debate.
Yes, and that's the other thing. Let it be debate. Don't feel like just because somebody disagrees with you that you have to be against them and you have to, you know, you have to be their enemy and you have to try to take them down. That's not how the world works anymore, man.
I mean, I was reading an article in one of the South London newspapers a couple of months ago, and there was an eminent black feminist, Nigerian woman, I can't remember her bloody name now, but and she was saying, like, you know, although she's openly feminist, she said the problem with the left is they don't want to debate anything. And how do we have change unless we actually debate the issues at hand?
Mm-hmm.
If social media's gone very much to the left and everyone's being judged via social media, but no one wants to speak about the issues and get to the actual root cause of the ire. Because if you offer any opinion other than that which people on the left want to get across, because if you're not agreeing with the school of thought, and it's the same with the right, but they don't get so much of an handle. They have their own ways and means. I mean, a lot of the right I can't stand anyway. But talking, you know, seeing a lot of, I mean, I've tried to get involved less and less, to be fair. It's just a fucking headache. And because you just can't talk to people who don't want to listen. And I'm more than, I will talk and debate anything on the left or the right. But it goes back to what I said before, Tony, that if people are only prepared to listen to one school of thought and be indoctrinated, you cannot have debate, because you need an open mind to be able to look at it from all angles. Because the world is 360, unless you're a flat earther.
Yeah, and if you're gonna make your opinion, at least be educated, read, you know, do your own investigating, and come to your own conclusions. Don't be a lemming, and don't make decisions based on absolutely nothing or your gut feeling. You'd be surprised how much you can learn just with a few minutes of digging around. That's all it takes.
Yeah, and some people, they just want to jump on the bandwagon because it's cool, and they jump on it with no actual knowledge of what they're trying to talk about.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, Baza, I've never in my life, at least that I know of, I've never met someone who said, these people should die. Whether it's a racial group or an immigrant group or a religious group, I've never heard someone in my life say that. But if you listen to the media long enough, you'll find out that 6 or 7 people that you know, that you're close friends with possibly, they've all wanted somebody killed. Come on, man. That's not how it works. That's not how it works at all.
It's just, that looks cool. I'm part of that.
It's terrible.
It's sad. It's sad. I just wish people could just say it. Because we all learn from each other. We all learn from our own mistakes. But what makes life enriching is being around people of different cultures, of different backgrounds, of different ways of looking at things. Because they might take a little bit from you to enrich your own life. And in turn, hopefully you can take a little bit from them to enrich your own life.
Yes.
And we all become better people for those experiences. But all I'm seeing nowadays is people trying, and a lot of it is through social media and the media at large, trying to push people into their own little social enclaves. So we're going to have the gay people there. We're going to have the black people there. We're going to have the Muslim people there. All you white heterosexuals can stay over there in one group as well. and none of you shall mix. And if you try to mix, we can put a story out there that makes you fearful of each other. So you choose not to mix with each other. Because the last thing we want is you lot getting along and realising that us, the ones in power, are actually the ones trying to fuck you all over.
Yeah.
And that's the way I see it a lot of the time.
But we're white men, so we're all good. Or all bad, depending on who you talk to, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. But speaking of white men doing bad things, can I segue into a report that I came across about our good friend Randy Orton?
Go for it.
Okay.
I'm intrigued to hear.
Okay. So apparently there was an episode of the MLW podcast from 2012. And this is just apropos of what people have been doing nowadays with Twitter to begin with. Apparently Randy Orton had a penchant for pulling his dick out, grabbing himself, and then asking any new writers for WWE to shake his hand. What a delightful fella, huh?
What?
Okay, so here's the quote. This is from Court Bauer.
Pretty.
It's fucking ridiculous. Let's see. Here, quote, for every new writer that would show up, he would come into the room, put his hands down his pants, pull out his dick, touch himself, and then say, I'm Randy Orton, shake my hand. Oh, you don't want to shake my hand? You're big leaguing me? That's fucked up, man. Should I tell Vince and Steph you won't shake Randy Orton's hand? That's so fucked up.
It is.
And apparently here it says, when asked if he would have shaken his hand, Court says, I don't know. I'm a bit of a germaphobe. And he said he got lucky because when Randy tried to do it to him, as he was about to pull his dick out, Stephanie walked in. And quote, that shit went right back in his pants. Look, I'm laughing because this is after the fact, and like you can picture Randy being a dickhead like that. But now this happened in 2012, and supposedly WWE is looking into this now to see if anything was done. But I don't know, man. As fucked up as it is, this is 6 years ago. Why is this coming out now? Is this just a fucking another headhunting thing to try to stick it to somebody you don't like? Like, I don't get it.
This goes back to what I was saying before. Like, you know, the person I was when I was younger isn't the person I am now. And my views on the world, some of my views on the world then, weren't right. For a lack of education and a lack of exposure to the world, you know.
Yeah, I mean, is this a crime? Go ahead.
If they're that same person now, then obviously there is an issue with that individual.
Yes.
But how far do you want to go back in history, just to prove that someone done something bad? Now, I'm pretty damn sure that there is one person of our generation, shall we say, who hasn't done at least one thing that they regret on a moral level now.
Yeah.
We all have, because it's part of the learning process of becoming a decent fucking human being. You cannot. You don't learn unless you make mistakes. And it's how you learn from those mistakes is how you grow to be a better human being. And hopefully, if you become a better human being, you actually pass on the knowledge of your experience to younger people so that they don't repeat the mistakes that you made. And that's how we create a better world.
But do you think Randy should be in any kind of trouble for something that happened 6 years ago? I mean, we're not talking about, you know, like he was silently assenting to like children being molested over decades, or, you know, he wasn't involved in some sort of, you know, heinous crime or robbery or anything like that. I mean, he was being a dick. You know what I'm saying?
At the very best, it's a very fucked up prank. At the worst, he's just being an absolute arsehole and pushing his celebrity onto newbies.
And if they do find that he did something wrong and he violated some policy or some condition or other, does that mean now 6 years down the road he deserves to be, you know, like possibly lose his job or be reprimanded? I mean, like I just don't understand what the end game is. Like, why wasn't this brought up 6 years ago when it happened? Like, what's got to question the motives of bringing this up so far, like into the future, you know, like so far removed from the incident.
Again, that's another issue, isn't it?
Yeah, well, of course. I just don't get it.
People's perceived historical crimes. You know, again, where do you go with it? Because something like that in a room, I mean, I could, you know, having been a victim of child abuse when I was a kid, I can understand how a lot of people keep it to themselves for so many years. Because there was only a very select few people who knew, like close friends who knew what happened to me. And it was the best part of 30 years before I personally found the strength to tell my parents what happened.
No, and I think that you know, that situation, you know, unfortunately that you had to go through and so many other people have gone through, you know, I think that's a little different here because
and that's what I'm saying. I can understand that. But in this instance, with Randy Orton, we're talking about him being in a room full of adults, right? Yeah, you know, there must have been at least, there was more than him and the writer in the room at that time, understanding.
But on top of that, like this is something that he actually spoke about on this podcast. And you know, you would think that if he had any issue with it or if he felt the need to bring it up to WWE management or whatever the deal is, like he would have done it himself at that time. It's just strange that this is coming from like a third party who's like, hey, did this happen? And he's like, yes. So it's like, all right, so now why is it being investigated now when pretty much everybody knew that it was out there 6 years ago? Like,
it was being spoken about openly during its own time period.
Exactly.
It doesn't need to be an issue now. Because if it was spoken about openly during that time period and no one obviously took massive offence to it then why bring it up now? It makes no sense to me. There's no rhyme or reason to it other than someone just wanting to be one of the cool kids to jump on this bandwagon of bringing up historical issues, no matter how trivial they are.
Yeah, I don't know. It just has to be to the greater picture, like we spoke about. You know, like anything to get out there, to get a rise out of people, just to stick it to somebody. Now, look, Randy Orton's not the most liked guy in the locker room throughout his history. He's been known for shitting in purses and just rubbing people the wrong way. But
yes. I mean, look, he's obviously got a very dark sense of humor.
Yes.
And, you know, and when you're of that ilk, it's not going to resonate with everyone. Usually, if you have people like that in the workplace, there's usually just a group of three or four of you who have the eternal chuckle about such things, you know?
Yeah, and I think it would be a little different if you were trying to pull a rib like that, like with your friends, but to somebody that the WWE just hired, it's like, come on, you know?
Yeah, just don't give the guy a break. But obviously, it's just something that just hasn't translated, is it? Because it's not a very nice thing to do. But if that's the man's sense of humour, it's that sort of thing isn't going to resonate with everyone. You know what I mean? I mean, exactly. Like someone like myself or yourself, if he come and done that to me, I say, well, no, can't I touch your dick first so that we're on equal ground? You know what I mean?
See, that would have been the thing to do.
Or just put your hand down your own pants.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Or I'll put it down the back of your pants and let him have a bit of fucking crack sweat. You know? Pleased to meet you too. You know? But it's not for everyone.
Holy shit. That would be the way to do it.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think in a wrestling locker room, that's the kind of shit that they look for. Like, they want you to, like, be all in with them. You know?
Definitely.
I would think that Randy Orton would appreciate somebody giving him, like, you know, giving him the old ball bag back. You know, like, all right, you want to shake? Let's do it. Let's do a double. We'll be ball brothers.
Yeah, ball brothers. Beautiful.
Oh, holy shit, man. Holy shit.
Here's your chance to get some great merchandise and support the people that support us, the Shining Wizards. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and click on your country's banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and a portion of your purchase will support us. Blue Apron, if you haven't tried fresh food, easy to prepare, and absolutely delicious, go to shiningwizards.com and click on the Blue Apron banner to save $30 off your first order. If you like wrestling videos, visit shiningwizards.com and click on the IVP videos banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and once again, a portion of your purchase will support the show. If you like great wrestling t-shirts designed for all of us, visit Collar and Elbow at collarandelbowbrand.com, where wrestling fashion meets street passion. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your order. For all your lucha gear needs, visit luchashop.com. Once again, use the code WIZARDS at checkout to save 10%. The High Spots Wrestling Network offers over 2,000 hours of video content every month. Go to highspotswrestlingnetwork.com and use the code WIZARDS at checkout for your first month free. If you're interested in great lucha crates, visit our friends at luchaloot.com. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your first crate. If you want wrestling shirts from today's brightest and biggest stars, visit Bottom Line Merch at bottomlinemerch.com. Zubaz. If you're not wearing Zubaz, you're just wearing pants. Visit them at zubaz.com and don't forget to check out their lucha masks. If you're interested in starting a podcast, doing some designs for social media, or anything else that requires some technical savvy, visit our friend Brian Thompson at gauntletcreative.com. Support those who support us, the Shining Wizards.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareen, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dome, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message. Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Because we're up all night.
Too sweet.
No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B Plus Player Radio Network.
I wanted to ask you just to change gears real quick. In terms of professional wrestling in England, would you consider Royal Albert Hall to be like the place for professional wrestling? Sort of like if you performed at Royal Albert, like you've made it in the business. Or is there another venue that's like that has more of a prestige or a history or something along those lines?
I think the Royal Albert Hall, historically, is the place to really, that's where everyone wants to wrestle in the UK.
Okay.
You know, it was lost on people, and I think it's a little bit lost on the younger generation of wrestling fans now, because the British wrestling scene was in the gutter for so long. People forgot that the Royal Albert Hall actually used to be a thing for British wrestling, you know?
Yes.
I don't think it would be wrong of me to say that the Royal Albert Hall is our Madison Square Garden. Although it never quite got, because obviously, you know, the British wrestling scene was never on the international level that the American wrestling scene has enjoyed down the decades. It doesn't mean to say that the people who have applied their trade here down the decades don't view it in the same light, you know?
No, I hear you. And the only reason I bring this up is because, you know, as you know, we've talked on the show about, you know, Ring of Honor, New Japan, you know, cracking the MSG walnut. And, you know, for the first time in 70 years, I believe we came up with the number, you know, professional wrestling is going to be a Madison Square Garden, and it's not tied to, you know, WWE or all of its, you know, any of its predecessors, actually. And, you know, just a couple of days ago, tickets went on sale for the for this show, which is going to be the night before WrestleMania, while NXT is running, you know, across the way at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And the show sold out in, from reports that I have, all reports say under 5 minutes. Now, depending on who you look at, it could have been 1 minute, could have been 4 minutes, but, you know, it really doesn't matter. Bottom line is, a company that, you know, it might be considered number three in the country right now, you know, behind maybe Impact, but definitely WWE. But, you know, not nearly on that level that WWE is in terms of, you know, notoriety, popularity, whatever word you want to use. You know, coming in with New Japan, who has a very core audience in the States, you know, like, you know, most people that go to see Roman Reigns or Braun Strowman or, you know, of Brock Lesnar, they may have heard of New Japan, but they don't know much about it. And for these two companies, which is mostly Ring of Honor, let's be honest, you know, Ring of Honor is the one putting this together. For them to sell out the Garden in, you know, in under 5 minutes, that's just a testament to, number one, how much people want an alternative, but number two, how much people really miss wrestling at MSG. And, you know, at one point, like you said, with Royal Albert Hall, maybe it doesn't mean so much to the younger generation. And, you know, I think more to the wrestlers, it may mean more because they're aware of the history of the sport. But I think by and large, yes, today, when people think of New York City, right away they think Barclays Center. They don't think of MSG anymore. And I think that's unfortunate in and of itself. But regardless, Ring of Honor sold out Madison Square Garden in under 5 minutes for WrestleMania weekend. That's a big fucking deal. What do you think?
Well, the thing I take from this is that New York is known as being WWF territory or exactly. WWE territory.
Sorry. It's been that way as far as most can remember.
That's as far as I can remember, you know, because it is. That is, you know, and for Ring of Honor and New Japan to put a show together the night before WrestleMania, running side by side with NXT, you know, choosing, I mean, this has got, it was obviously discussed quite heavily, but actually choosing, making the conscious decision to run the same night as NXT and run an iconic venue, which is, like I say, which has only ever been known to be run by the F and the E, it's like they've just walked onto their lawn and just took a massive dump. But like you say, it shows that people want an alternative. Because we've said for a long time that WWE, it doesn't cater for us. And it's not meant to cater for us. And that's why I don't get upset about it anymore. NXT, definitely a bit of me, because it's aimed at me. And the same way that Ring of Honor and New Japan, it, for me, it is aimed at an older audience. And I think the older wrestling fans, in what, you know, New York, the WWE aside, New York, New Jersey still remains a massive wrestling hotbed. And older fans, like ourselves, you know, if you're, I don't know, 30 plus, you want to see something that's more geared towards you. So I expect to see an older wrestling audience at MSG, but I think there'll be older people taking their kids there saying, this is where it really used to happen, you know?
Yeah, I do miss a lot of the old school WWF storytelling. I miss a lot of the old production, the way things looked, the way things were produced. A lot of the backstage interviews where, like, now it's mostly walking and talking, and it's pretty much just setting someone up to go off for 20 minutes, as opposed to a backstage interviewer that will have banter with some of the talent, not necessarily being walking past production trucks, but, you know, something with a blank wall with the logo behind them where they can cut an interview or two, a little bit of music cutting away to them. I kind of wish that they did some of that again, and I get that the product now is more for the kids. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great talent there, and I do enjoy a lot of the stuff that they do in the ring. But, you know, some of it to me harkens back to a time where, yeah, MSG was important. And, you know, the stories were important, you know?
Yeah, well, we enjoyed stories, and we enjoyed the long game.
Yes.
You know, but, you know, I think the WWE's product just mirrors society in general today, where people want their information in bite-sized chunks because it's easier to digest. They haven't got the attention span to sit there and take in a story anymore.
Well, I think in part wrestling did that to itself. I know that WCW has not been in business in almost 20 years now, but a lot of what WCW did changed the business not only for the bad but for the good. I can't shit on it completely, but when competition was around, you know, it became, instead of a pay-per-view every 2 or 3 months for each company, it became a pay-per-view every month for each company. And when WCW went away, and to a lesser extent ECW, because they started running pay-per-view, but now you still have 12 pay-per-views a year. And like you said, it's kind of hard to encapsulate, you know, what would be, back in the day, 6, 7, 8 months, years of storylines into a month's time. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
And then it becomes, how many times can you see wrestler X and wrestler Y go at it and keep it fresh? Some guys can do that. Some stories have done that. But for the most part, it's like, oh, it's going to be Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax again? It's like, come on. Like,
you know, I'm reading at the moment, like, I've seen a couple of people, like, because obviously the news about Alexa Black's injured, is going to be missing TakeOver Brooklyn. And so it's looking like Ciampa and Gargano again. And which I haven't got a problem with. I could watch them two wrestle each other all year. But yeah. I'm reading people, oh, are we seeing this again? I'm getting sick of this now. And I'm like, back in the day, that is a sort of feud that you get a couple of years out of that.
Yeah.
Easily. And I think what made it easier to tell the stories back in the golden era of the WWF is that because you only had those four pay-per-views a year, in which you had like your Royal Rumble, your WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, you had 4 points of balding, should we say, in regards to the flight of your story. Because you had the Survivor Series, the Royal Rumble, which was so different to WrestleMania and SummerSlam, you had options there in which to start off the direction of your story in regards to someone being eliminated during a Royal Rumble or there being a misunderstanding at a Survivor Series.
Exactly.
And then you could lead that towards your WrestleMania. Or you could have... You had the option to have your rematch at SummerSlam. You know what I mean? Because you because, like I say, because you had a lot of differences and variations there that you could work with because of what then pay-per-views were about, you had so many more options open to you. Whereas nowadays, even the Survivor Series, isn't Survivor Series anymore. Survivor Series is like SummerSlam, but in the winter. Because you're not having your... I know they chuck in a traditional Survivor Series match. But it isn't what it used to be. It's not the Survivor Series. It's SummerSlam in the winter with a multi-man tag thrown in.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that they just pay the old Survivor Series concept lip service. I mean, especially now where I don't know the numbers. I don't know what they take in typically for revenue by running on the pay-per-view model anymore, just because they have the network. But I don't think it would really hurt them at all if they ran a traditional Survivor Series card and not make it just like, oh, it's Raw versus SmackDown. It's for bragging rights. It's who's the superior brand. I don't give a shit about that. You know what I want to see? I want to see, you know, Kevin Owens is feuding with Braun Strowman. So let's put them on opposite sides of, say, Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Like, let's build these teams with these feuds that are going on, and let's get these guys mixing it up against different people.
And to be fair, they've never had a better opportunity to do it.
Yes, exactly.
Because they run so... Because we're having monthly pay-per-views now, it's crying out for the Survivor Series in its original form to be reintroduced to change up what is fast show, as you guys like to say, every pay-per-view is fast show.
Yes.
Except for WrestleMania and the Royal Rumble. They're the only two pay-per-views for me that have still stayed true to themselves.
Fastlane 85 coming next Sunday.
But no, I firmly believe, like, you know, if ever there was a time to have a traditional Survivor Series back as it was, yes, Now's the time. Well, not even now. They should have been doing it a few years ago.
Yeah.
Because it just changes the pace of everything that's going on. And you can either end feuds or continue feuds within that concept or start new ones, you know?
Hey, you know what else I really want? I really want a 5-on-5 tag match. Not where it's like two guys. You know, I want 10 teams on the ring apron. I want two guys. I want two guys in the ring and 9 guys on the apron. That's what I mean. Like, I want that.
Yeah. I'm just thinking now with what you say about like Braun Strowman and Kevin Owens and whatnot. You know, you look at the tag teams that you got now.
Yeah.
They compete against each other. You know, you've got the New Day. You've got the Revival. Is that dude back from injury yet?
I think so. Sure. I think he just came back. Yeah.
I'm not that up on the current WWE.
No, I mean, I haven't been with the Revival either, but I'm pretty sure Matt spoke about it earlier in the week with Kevin that I'm pretty sure, I think it was Dawson was hurt. I think he's back. So.
Yeah. I mean, you've got the Authors of Pain.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got the Club. You know, you've got the tag team there to be able to do it. And it doesn't have to be exclusive to a roster.
Yeah.
You can do a Survivor Series where, like, you can incorporate everything that you're doing today.
Exactly.
You can use your SmackDown feuds. You can use your Raw feuds. You can use your Women's Division. You can use NXT. You can use your 205. You know what I mean? You've got it all there to be able to do a proper Survivor Series, incorporating all the brands under the WWE umbrella.
Exactly.
And it would be brilliant. The fans would eat it up all day long.
I would love it. I would love it myself. That would be fucking amazing. Why they don't do it, I have no idea. I really don't.
It's money. Something like that is money. Because you can just bring everything you do under one roof. And like I say, you can have your NXT Survivor Series match, your Women's Division, your 205, your SmackDown, your Raw. So you can all incorporate all your storylines that you've got going on within each and every brand. And away you go.
And you could tell amazing stories too. Like, you can have 3 guys from a team beat the shit out of Brock Lesnar outside the ring and he gets counted out. You know what I'm saying? Like, how great would that be? Like, holy shit, they toppled Brock Lesnar. Or, you know, like, you could have, like, say, like Kevin Owens and I don't know, who's another one? Like, Randy Orton, maybe they're buddies. Now all of a sudden they're getting into it. Or him and Sami Zayn, they start a fight again, and they're, even though they're on the same team, and one of them walks out like Bad News Brown did. Like, you could do so much with that, man. And it's an easy 3-hour pay-per-view to do it. It would be amazing.
Yeah. If we can do this, why can't they? With all the writing talent they've got, if we can sit here and just discuss that concept off the top of our heads,
they can easily do it.
All the writers that they're doing and all the instruments they've got at their disposal, it's, and like I say, it would just break up the monotony of, oh, it's another pay-per-view.
You need a mind like Pat Patterson used to be able to write for multi-man matches. Sorry about the gay joke, but anything multi-man probably got Pat Patterson salivating. Am I wrong?
I got this idea for a multi-man match. Do it.
All right, now look. Look, if you have hate mail, send it please to wizardspodcast@gmail.com. Just a reminder to everyone, you're listening live on The Rant, or you're listening in podcast form at the shiningwizards.com. You could be listening on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, one of the other amazing places, even Google Play, which I don't know if anybody even fucking uses considering it's Google. There's one more question I have to ask you, though. We mentioned getting women involved in the Survivor Series. As you know, the women's pay-per-view is coming up, and I'm looking forward to it. I really think that with everything that they have going on there, it has the potential to be a huge hit. I like the fact that they're doing it in New York. I wish they would be doing it at the Garden, but that's another story. But here's something that really bugged the shit out of me, and it's not because they're doing it. It's because who they're doing it with. Renee Young is set to make her commentary debut for Monday Night Raw, which marks the first time a woman has been at the commentary table for the entire show. Like, you know, like they've had Lita, Trish, whatnot over the years. Like all the women have sat in just like the men do. But this is going to be the first time a female, talent commentator is going to be there for the run of the show. Am I against that? Not at all. Am I against Renee Young doing that? Fuck yes, absolutely, because I think she's the drizzling shits. What do you think?
I haven't seen a lot of Renee Young, but I remember her as Renee Parkett. She used to be on a podcast I used to listen to many years ago, out of Canada.
Okay.
And it was hosted by Ardor O'Cowell and a former WWF referee, Jimmy Corderas.
Really? Corderas and Renee Young together?
Yeah. She was going under her government name, I think it's her government name, or Renee Parkett. And I actually used to quite enjoy her on the show. So I think, and I get the distinct impression, Renee Young is one of those, she's one of those Marmite commentators. You either like her or you don't.
Okay.
Now, I've never found her to be too bad, but then I'm not in the position where I've watched her work every week, because, you know, you get some things where you don't really get it until you're watching it every week and you're like, fucking hell, actually, man, this is a one-trick pony. But if you have it in, like, little chunks now and again, it doesn't affect you so much because you're not seeing it on the regular, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, do I want her to fail? No. But she's got to fucking, she better come correct. You know what I'm saying? Like, sitting at the pregame, sitting at the pregame show talking about matches before they happen is a whole different ballgame from actually sitting at the desk and calling the action or building on what's going on in the ring. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're kind of two different worlds, even though they're both behind a microphone.
Definitely, because I'm noticing the same thing at the moment, because obviously we've had the World of Sport kickoff over here. The World of Sport Wrestling.
Yes.
And we're 3 weeks into a 10-week run in the first series. And they've got SoCal Val as part of the commentary team.
The woman with no nose.
Yeah. With Alex Shane and Stu Bennett. obviously formerly known as Wade Barrett.
Yes.
Now, Squeal Bell offers, God bless her, for me, it just smacks of, here's your token woman because we want to tick the equality box.
Yes.
Because she offers absolutely nothing on the commentary. Nothing whatsoever.
Okay.
She'll just come in with the odd, and this is, you know, going along the lines of what you're concerned about happening, is that they can talk about the product off camera, but put them in front of the product, and they've actually got to call it in real time, suddenly you're not getting the same result because they haven't got the ability to call it as it happens. They're fine off a script or talking about it after the event, after they've watched it, but like you say, because you've done it yourself, Tony, with Tier 1.
Yes.
It's a completely different animal because you're not getting time to think about it. You've got to call it within seconds of seeing it. Otherwise, you know, you're chasing your tail for the rest of the match.
Yeah, and on top of that, you have to know why things are happening because you have to be able to, you know, to convey that to the crowd. And look, I got lucky. I got to work with WWN and Evolve's Trevin Adams. I got to work with Troy Nelson. You know, to a lesser extent, Larry Dallas. I mean, he's a broadcaster, sure, but I don't know what his, you know, I don't know if he had too much background doing commentary like I did at the time, you know, but I got to learn. And, you know, the big thing is not to just watch. Like, you have to be watching and reacting in real time and explaining in real time as well. Like, even if you're doing, you know, the color and you're backing up, you have to, like, immediately understand why they did something, how they did something, and explain that, you know, before they start moving on to the next series of events. It's not easy. It's not like, hey, Booker, what do you think is going to happen in the next match? You know, it's a completely different animal. I want her to succeed. I don't want her to fail, but I'm not on board with her, dude. I'm just not.
No, that's fair enough. Like I say, you've seen her a lot more than myself. and I can understand the concerns because, again, she's got no experience of being on a desk or being, you know, being in front of the action and having to call it live. And I think that's why, is it possible that is why they go with having three or more people at a commentary table these days, so that the pressure is on one or two people to carry it, because you don't get the chance to re-edit live shows, you know?
I don't know, but I'll tell you this much. It really, if they're doing it to shoehorn a woman in there and they're not getting a great candidate, well then shame on them, because I'm not a fan of, excuse me, just doing things for women, just to do things for women. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm for get the best man, woman, whatever for the job. And unfortunately, the men that they have doing a lot of the jobs nowadays are not the best men. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, I understand, like, hey, let's give Renee a shot. You know, like, it'll be cool. It's a first. Don't just do the first to do the first. Do the first because you have confidence in that person that they can step up and fill in the shoes of somebody like a Gorilla Monsoon or a JR or a Gordon Soley or a Jerry Lawler or even, God forgive me, like a Corey Graves, you know, like somebody that knows what the fuck they're doing, you know, and doing a good job at it.
This could be a stroke of genius or an absolute car crash.
And I'm sure somebody out there is hoping it's a car crash. Look, if it's a car crash, I'm going to enjoy the shit out of it anyway, because I'll be sitting there going, what the fuck? But I really do hope that she's up on the game.
Because they're obviously doing this to prepare her for this all-women show.
Yes.
So they must be wanting to head it up. But I can't believe that they wouldn't have at least prepared her in some other capacity, like maybe commentating on house shows.
I think she might have been commentator for NXT at some point back in the day, if I'm not mistaken. I was watching some old Alexa Bliss stuff on the network, which I never watched NXT back then. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, I think you're right. I think she was part of the NXT commentary team in the early days.
Yeah, there was some woman that was doing some of the Alexa Bliss early stuff, and I was not a fan. I'm pretty sure it was her. It was not good. It really was not good. So hopefully in that time she stepped it up. Maybe she's worked with somebody behind the scenes. Maybe she was doing stuff with Jerry Lawler to get her ready. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, they do cater for everything else at the E, don't they? Their training facilities and whatnot, with like obviously having dedicated promo classes, so on and so forth. So I'd be amazed if they didn't have a facility for actually bringing through their next crop of commentators.
Yes.
And helping them, like you say, come correct for shows and preparing them for live gigs.
I do want to mention, we do have a listener. I received a text message from someone. You could probably guess who it is. It says, "I can't believe I'm listening to you two idiots." Good morning, Matt. Holy shit.
Good morning, Matt.
Oh, fuck me. You got anything exciting planned for your day today?
I've got to give that man some props.
Who, Matt? Sure, go for it. Stroke his ego a little bit.
Because my wife and I had a dream to go to WrestleMania next year.
Yes.
And unfortunately, due to our financial circumstances, because it's not a cheap trip.
No, of course not.
When you're coming from here to there. And we've been doing the mess, and we simply can't afford to do it. And because it's not just us, it's about bringing our youngest stepson with us as well, because he's autistic and we wouldn't want to leave him at home, because we wouldn't want to experience it without him.
No, of course, of course.
And, you know, we haven't had the opportunity yet to do our own family holiday. And even though my wonderful wife is more than happy for me to travel out there on my own, I'm not comfortable with the idea at the minute that I want to be able, for my first time abroad after being married, to be without my wife.
Sure.
Yeah, to build memories together. And that's not to say that the idea is completely dead in the water, but I need to try and sort something out to get a family holiday done so that we've got something to look forward to and it's not all about me. Now, this leads me on to why I'm offering, giving props to Mr. Bowen, because I do take the pieces out of him, like I do all of the other times. But I got a message through the other day from Mr. Bowen, and he said, "Are you and your wife still coming to America for WrestleMania?" And I explained to him what I was just explaining right now, just now to yourself, about our situation, so on and so forth, and my own personal feelings about travelling on my own when we haven't had an holiday together yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Matt says to me, "That's a shame, because I wanted to gift you and your wife two tickets to the Ring of Honor and New Japan show at Madison Square Garden." He's actually bought me and my wife tickets to go to that show. What an amazing thing to do for someone that you've never even met. And I was genuinely choked up by his kindness and generosity.
I
know we all shoot the shit and take them and make fun of each other, but you've got a real good pal there, and I'm glad to call him friend. And one day I will get across there, and I will shake your hands, because it's on my bucket list. I can't leave this earth without coming across there and meeting all you crazy bastards at least once.
I appreciate the kind words, man. Like you said, we break Matt's balls hard. We break each other's balls hard on this show. Jesus, if I could fucking talk. And plus, I said hard on. But yeah, Matt is genuinely, and I can say for Kevin, Eddie, like, genuinely good dudes, man. Like, Matt's got a heart of fucking gold, you know? He's always willing to bend over backwards, do whatever for anybody, man. He's definitely good people. That's why we keep him around.
To think of someone you've never even met, though, you know what I mean, and pull out a gesture like that is quite something else, you know. And I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I can't say it will definitely happen at this moment in time.
Well,
there's a few things that need to be worked. You know, and I said to Matt, I said, I don't suppose you know anyone who want to put up an Englishman for the weekend to save him on hotel costs. yeah, let's just see how we roll between now and Christmas. And hopefully something positive can come out of it.
Well, even if it doesn't happen in time for WrestleMania, I can guarantee one day that we are all going to get together and have a few laughs. And just you know, have the meeting that we've always wanted to have, man.
Definitely. You know, because, you know, I believe Mike Norrington is living closer to you guys these days. And obviously, Phil Rea and other people, Choppy, David Powers, you know, all you wonderful people through your various podcasts have brought me joy and helped me through some dark times in my life, I can tell you.
Yeah.
You know, I need to tell you, you know, most of you guys know what I've been through before I met my beautiful wife, like the mental demons that I had to overcome and whatnot. And, you know, I was close to becoming a fucking alcoholic.
Wait, becoming?
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. And, but yeah, I was shoveling it back excessively every night for a long period of time. And, you know, and all you guys over there played your part in bringing me through the other side in one fucking piece, man. So, like, you know, and I'll always be grateful to all you brothers for that.
Well, there's one thing I always look forward to every year, my friend. It's getting to sit down 4 years now to actually sit down with you and shoot the shit, you know, wrestling, life, whatever.
Yeah, it's mad. It's when you think, like, I was saying to Matt, like, when we was messaging each other the other day, like, it's like half a decade I've known some of you now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to have that meeting. we need to have that meeting.
It's going to happen, my friend. I have no doubt in my mind it's going to happen.
Of course it will.
It's going to happen.
Because for one, I got over the first hurdle and actually got a fucking passport.
Nice. Yeah, my wife was ready to kill me. Mine's about to expire. And she goes, did you know there's a six-month rule? I go, what the fuck is a six-month rule? She goes, oh, if you don't have a valid passport, you know, that's valid for at least 6 months, if you go to certain countries, they won't let you leave. I go, this is fucking great. We're leaving on a trip in 3 days and you tell me this now? So we actually had a look. Apparently, Spain and Portugal follow a three-month rule, not a six-month rule. So, unfortunately, to the people in the United States, I will be coming back home.
And don't you love the way we as men always get annoyed about the stuff our wives tell us that we should really know?
Yeah, but it's like I would have been stuck here. She would have fucking went home without me, dude.
Brilliant.
I know she would have. I know she would have. Hey, is there anything else you want to bring up wrestling-wise before we start pulling this train into the station?
No, apart from the fact that I watched the G1 final this morning and Kota Ibushi and Hiroshi Tanahashi had an amazing match.
Yeah, and Ibushi beat Kenny Omega to make it into the finals, didn't he?
He did indeed. And, spoiler alert!
Yep, ding ding.
Third time, Hiroshi Tanahashi is your G1 Climax champion and will go on to Wrestle Kingdom to face Kenny Omega. Should he still be champion, of course, which they usually are from this point in.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. New Japan's they're hitting on all the cylinders these days, man.
It's the one thing that stayed constant over the last few years. I mean, I've fallen off the British scene because I don't like the politics that are coming into it. I don't know. Yeah, there is one point here that I wanted to bring up. Now, obviously, New York is a hotbed of wrestling.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you've probably got shows going on 3-4 times a week over there, the same as we have in London, yeah?
Yeah, probably more so, yes.
Yeah. Now, everyone's trying to get on the bandwagon of trying to make a full-time gig out of it. But at the same time, a lot of the top-tier talent has been stripped by either NXT, New Japan, or Ring of Honor. Are you finding, like I'm finding on the London scene, that a lot of the cards are becoming very samey in regards to the makeup of the wrestlers on those cards.
Oh, yeah. I've talked about this for a long time now. That was one of the first things I... When I got into Tier 1, I actually started following independent wrestling, you know, fairly frequently again, which I hadn't done in a long time. And, I begin to notice, like, okay, you're bringing in Matt Riddle. Well, Matt Riddle is wrestling, say, David Starr here, and then he's wrestling, say, JT Dunn here. And then the next weekend, Matt Riddle wrestled JT Dunn, but somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it happens quite frequently because every promoter wants to bring in the biggest matches. Well, a lot of times the biggest matches are going to be the same matches that every other promoter wants to bring in. And then it's like, well, why do I want to see it on a Friday here when I could see it Saturday here? And it's like,
yeah.
It's pretty much not the wrestlers are interchangeable anymore, but it's the promoters. And I guess as long as the promoters are willing to pay, shit, these guys will work anywhere and everywhere because they want to ply their trade. Now, are these promoters going to be taking in more money? I don't know. Because if I already saw this match, why would I want to go see it again? Probably going to be pretty much the same thing. But I don't know. But you're absolutely right. It goes to a bigger point. A lot of these things wind up repeating over and over and over again.
Because the fun I used to get out of it, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to knock any of the boys and girls for like wanting to make a full-time gig out of something that they love. Because we'd all love to be in that position. As a spectator and a fan, I used to enjoy the fact that I wouldn't see certain people for a few weeks because it would keep it fresh. Because there was the merry-go-round was that much bigger numbers-wise with the talent. So, like, you know, you can only book so many wrestlers on a show. And because you had more wrestlers going around, you saw certain wrestlers on a less frequent basis because of that. Now you've got so much talent stripped away. Because you look at an NXT card now, and these were dudes I was going to shows to watch only a couple of years ago with your Aleister Blacks, Tommaso Ciampa's, Johnny Gargano's, Roderick Strong's. These guys were over here on the regular. War Raiders, you know?
Yes.
Those all over here on the regular, along with your top British talent, like your Zack Sabre Jr., your Will Ospreys of this world. You know, and them two have created a massive problem in Britain because they was both announced to be at Hello Wembley at the end of next month, which should be the highest attended European wrestling show of modern times. And they've literally got nothing announced because I don't think they know who's going to be available to actually book for the show, because you can't book this dude because the problem with Zack Sabre Jr. with Ospreay is that they've got commitments with no again. And they can't book other people because they're aligned to this company or that company, or you can't use this WWE guy, and because they're having to wait and see what WWE's commitments are, I suppose. And, you know, you're like, what, six weeks out, you've only announced two matches. I just hope that they can pull something out of the bag. Because a lot of fans are becoming a bit disillusioned with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because WWE especially, they've been pulling in a lot of talent. And I think that goes to their game plan where they want everything to be in their wheelhouse as opposed to, you know, like any other promotions really existing. I mean, they've done some stuff with the promotions in the UK, you know, for a bit, but in some of the promotions still in the US. But, you know, by and large, they want everything to be under their banner. And it fucks with a lot of other things.
It does, and particularly I've noticed that they're actually working closely with WWE. You're not working any shows that has an on-demand service.
Yeah.
Because they're not having they put money into making money for another company, so to speak. You know?
Exactly.
I think that's just where they go. And it'll be interesting to see what happens when this when NXT UK fully kicks off. Because as I understand it, the management team at Progress are going to be heavily involved with that. So how do they keep their product, as in Progress, fresh?
Yes.
If they're having to come up with fresh ideas for another company. You know, it's like I put on my social media the other day. you know, if the rumors are true and it does come about, because there's got to be something in it, because Jim Smallman has packed in doing his stand-up comedy. Glenn Joseph, another part of the management team at Progress, has retired from the stage, which is what he used to do on the side from the, other than Progress. He was an actor, a very accomplished actor as well on the stage. So there's got to be something in it for them to be packing up their day job, so to speak.
Yes.
Now, and like I said, how do you write two separate stories about the same thing at the same time, and which one do you concentrate on, the one you're being paid for or the one you like to do for yourself? There's going to be a, there's got to be a conflict of interest there at some point, because I can appreciate that there's a huge amount of mental pressure that comes with trying to prepare a show like Progress as regular as they do, because they, you know, they're running like two or three shows a month, you know? Yes. And a lot of mental pressure's got to come with that to get the right people in the right places. And how do you continue to do that if you're committed to this as well? I'm interested to see how that plays out.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. Like you said, how do you focus on one and you know, how do you focus on both, make both compelling, considering the one you're getting the big checks for and the other one is going to be, you know, out of your baby, pretty much.
Yeah, you know, you're choosing between your boss and your kid.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And the boss is paying the bills.
Yeah, the boss is paying for you to be able to have the kid.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Definitely. I hope it works out well for them, but in my experience, if you're trying to focus on two things like that at the same time, invariably one or both suffers.
Exactly. Hopefully don't suffer. Hopefully both are successful, but it's one of those that we like to say on the show, we have to wait and see.
Yeah, definitely.
That old gag. Well, if there's not anything else, I guess we should start wrapping this up. Is there anything that you want to say to anyone? Any messages you want to get out there? As usual, when we do this, the floor is yours, my man.
Okay. You know, again, I'll just like to say, like, you know, thank you to everyone for supporting the Shining Wizards and enjoying it as much as I do. Thank you to all you crazy bastards across the water there for enriching my life every week with your stupidness and your craziness. And, you know, thank you to the Midnight Jury. Thank you to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Thank you to you guys at the Shining Wizards. You know, thank you to everyone involved in Rant EM for being a conduit between which I've had the opportunity to get to know some wonderful people outside of my country. And again, hopefully one day we can all just get together in the same room and just point and laugh at each other.
That'd be the way to do it. And just in case you're wondering, yes, he did say Midnight Jory on The Shining Wizards. It's okay. Props to WLW Studios. Props to everyone on The Rant. Props, of course, to all of our brothers on The Shining Wizards Network. Of course, props to my ball brother, Mr. Baza Smith. All right, my friend. Well, thank you all for tuning in this early on a Sunday morning over at rantemradio.com. Thank you for downloading and listening to us on whatever podcast platform that you do. For Baza, geez, why do I keep calling you Baza? You know what it is? When we first got to know you, it was Baza, but we all know it's Baza. So fuck me for keep fucking that up.
Some of my English friends even heard it, and they just started calling me Baza as well.
It has a little more of like that British twang to it, I guess. You know, Baza. I don't know. Maybe it sounds more. I don't know. Like Baza sounds like you're like insulting someone. Ah, Baza. You know.
Yeah, definitely.
Like fuck off, you Baza. Oh shit! I hope I didn't lose you. Please, I didn't lose you at the end of the show. You still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, good. All right, well then let me just cut this short. Goodbye to everybody on The Rant. We will see you, I guess, Tuesday when Matt and Kevin are back in Studio B.
I look forward to this. $1 million man, $1 million, $1 million dollar man, $1 million, $1 million, $1 million dollar man. He's got a diamond belt, he's got a black dude, he's got a cool beard, he's got a bad tude. He'll put you to sleep, you're gonna have to pay. $1 million man always gets his way.